You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Come on now, talk back to me. You doing good? Good. Well, as Pastor Mark said, my name's Paul and I'm one of the pastors here at Audacious Church. And I'm going to share a really short message with you before we close our service today. Why don't we just thank our brilliant team of musicians as well as these wonderful children for what they've done in our service today. It's obviously the 7th of December, which means that Christmas is well underway. Through the medium of holding up a certain number of fingers, I want you to show me when you think Christmas begins in December. Now, if you think Christmas begins in November, then I want you to just put a fist in the air. Wow. Okay, if you think Christmas starts in December between the 1st and the 10th, because that's all the amount of fingers that you've got, show me now when you think it officially starts. First, a lot of ones out here. The 7th, it started today for you. Oh, let's just give her a round of applause because she's just... The 8th, it's not started yet. Okay, it's going to start tomorrow. So for me, right, it's definitely the 1st of December. 1st of December, here come the songs. That's, for me, the sign that Christmas has started is when I allow myself to play Christmas music in the car. Now, give me a wave if you play it way earlier. Yeah, in November. Okay, how about when the advent calendars appear in the shop in June? That's the start of Christmas for some. Maybe it's after Halloween or after Bonfire Night. But for me, it's the 1st of December. And how I know is that I feel like I should now be playing the songs in the car. You see, the songs that we sing at Christmas, and one of the reasons why we do this service every year is because people don't remember sermons, but they do remember songs. And as a person who delivers sermons on a regular basis, that's really good for my ego. Thank you, Pastor Toba. People don't remember sermons, they remember songs. And so what we've been doing as a church for the last 2 weeks, starting last week and today, and continuing through December, is we've been doing a series of messages about the Christmas carols that we sing every year. So today, in today's service, right at the beginning, you may remember we sang, O Come All Ye Faithful. Just through the medium of a round of applause, if you think that's a banger, make some noise. It's an absolutely brilliant Christmas carol, and it was written hundreds of years ago, and for 200 years, we've been singing it. I say that because when it was first written, it was written in Latin. Anyone speak Latin? Ora et labora is the only Latin I know, because that's the school motto of Canon Slade, where I went to school. So that's the extent of my Latin. Oh, what's the other one about seize the day? That's Latin, isn't it? Carpe DM. Sounds good with a Bolton accent. Well, this carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, was written in Latin, but for the last 200 years, we've been singing it in English. And the reason why we're taking a minute today to talk about it is because this carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, joyful and triumphant, this is the retelling of the greatest story ever told. Our kids sang a line in the song, Brightest Light of All, the greatest story ever told. Bear Grylls' most recent book is called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And they're all talking about the same thing, which is the story of how Jesus was born and then lived a life, became a man, and the story continues. I want to share with you just three like hidden things in this Christmas carol. Three messages, three, I don't know, they're like the point of this carol is making three points. It's saying three things to us, and I want to share them with you. Is that okay? Yeah. the words are 200 years old, and so therefore they sound curious. They sound different to how we might speak, but when you drill down into it, it's really quite simple. And the message of the carol, I don't know if we have the words to the carol. I don't know if that's a slide or not. Do we have that? Anybody? Anyone know the words to the song? Oh, come all ye joyful and triumphant. Yeah, that's it, I'm out, I'm done. No. Oh, come ye, where to? This is like an old school way of saying, once upon a time in Bethlehem. That's what this intro is saying. He's saying, if you know, you know. Come with me to this scene in Bethlehem and behold, in other words, have a look at the king that's born. The first point that this carol is making, and actually 2,000 plus years later, it's the same point that Audacious Church and many churches in Manchester are making this Christmas. It's that God is real. I don't know if you realize that when the people that are described in this carol, when they're being spoken of, they would have heard the story that one day a Messiah would be born, and they would have heard this for all of their lives. In fact, generation after generation would tell the story that one day God would come to earth and change everything. And so this carol is saying, hey, it's happening. It's happening right now. Come with me to Bethlehem. See for yourself. And it's a familiar scene that we know from the front of Christmas cards, and we know from little nativity scenes that we set up in our houses and in town and different things like that. But the meta point, the big point, the point that we want you to know, even today in 2025, is that God is real. There's something about knowing that this is not just a story to make a point. There are some good stories that make a point. C.S. Lewis wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. Brilliant stories to make a point. The Lord of the Rings, amazing stories. They're stories made up to make a point. But this story, even though we're calling it a story, it's not just a story. God is real. And we want you to know that in 2025. God is real. This idea, verse 4 of the carol says these words, word of the Father now in flesh appearing. This is what this carol is all about, that God is real. And you can imagine that scene 2,000 years ago where people came to see the real God in flesh. In other words, like made real right there in front of them in this incredible scene. John chapter 1 in the Bible says this in verse 14. The Word, it's a capital W because it's describing Jesus, that's his name. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. In other words, God became a man and lived on the earth. There's a difference between hearing about something and then seeing it for yourself. I don't know if anyone's ever described to you the Eiffel Tower. Maybe someone's described to you Big Ben, or one of these sites around the world that everybody knows is awesome to see. But when you stand at the foot of the Eiffel Tower yourself, that changes everything. It goes from being something that you've heard about to something that you know exists because you can see it and you can experience it in a way that when someone tells you the story, it's a little bit different. And we just exist as a church so that everybody in Manchester can not just hear a story, but they can know for themselves that God is real. Now, it sounds like I'm comparing God to Big Ben, which I kind of am. But let me tell you one difference. There are many. One difference between God and Big Ben. Big Ben does not have the power to change your life, but God does. You see, the second message of this carol, not only is it saying to us that God is real, and that's something that we want you to think about this Christmas, the symbolic nature of our faith is not the end point of the story, is actually real, but the second message of this carol is that he's not only real, but he's relevant. You see, God in that moment when Jesus was born as a baby did something that no one else could do and we couldn't do for ourselves, and that means that we now have to sit up and listen. God was becoming human. In verse 2, it says, "Very God, begotten, not created. He abhors not the virgin's womb." This is the hymnologist that wrote this carol trying to put into words the radical, outrageous truth that God, the creator of the universe, stepped out of heaven and became a vulnerable baby. And we are here to tell you that not only is God real, but who he is and what he's done is so relevant to your life, even in 2025, that you have to do the third ingredient in this carol, which is respond to that. It's taken us on a journey, this carol. First thing it's saying is God is real. The second thing it's saying is that God is relevant. It's not like something that you pack away with the decorations and put back in the loft. It's not like something that you blow the dust off every time there's like a religious festival or something nice happening and you put him out on the fireplace and then put him away. No, he's saying, this carol is saying that God is real and relevant to you today in 2025. And so therefore, and the chorus of this carol, "Oh, come, let us adore him." That is the only response. Because what the hymnologist is trying to put into words and with a tune so that you and I remember it, is that God is real, he's relevant, and so I have to respond. And the only way to respond is through what we call praise. And as a church, we're good at praise. We're on our best behavior today because we've got all these guests in. But let me just let you in on a bit of a secret. As a church, we know how to praise. We know how to lift up the name of Jesus. We know how to jump. And it might seem curious, or dare I even say a little bit weird, for you as a guest in our church to see our us as Audacious, like celebrating and getting on our feet, those first two songs, the first song that we sang, what was that? "You Are Great." Cast your mind back to the beginning of the service. "You are great and greatly to be praised." Audacious was kind of behaving themselves, but there was pockets of people, audacious people, starting to jump up and down because we know how to praise. And it might seem weird, but in actual fact, right through the Bible, from the birth of Jesus in the New Testament, all through his life, told through the stories in the Gospels, you can see that wherever Jesus was, people praised. There was like an undeniable, impossible to ignore response that came whenever Jesus said anything, did anything, went anywhere, was with anyone, even when he was a baby and couldn't do anything, the response was still to lift him up in praise. "Oh, come, let us adore him." In other words, adoration. In other words, love. In other words, worship. In other words, praise, because his name is higher than any other name. So as you go from here today, and we're going to close our service with Joel and Sarah, I think, in just a moment, I want you to remember this Christmas about God. And this is not just for you if you're a first-time guest or, you know, a visitor in our church. This is for the whole church. If you've been walking this thing called faith for many years, or you're brand new to the idea of the first point that God is real, I want to remind you, Christians, non-Christians, believers, non-believers, number one, God is real. Number two, God is not just real, he's relevant, because he stepped out of heaven and did for you and I what we couldn't do for ourselves. The Bible describes in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, that God made the world perfect. And yet, because of sin, this idea that God loved us so much that he gave us the ability to make choices for ourselves. We're not robots. We're not zombies. In actual fact, God loved us so much that he gave us the ability to choose not to love him back. But don't worry, because the redemptive story of God, in other words, how God's master plan all along was that there would be the best gift ever. And there was a way back for humanity to heaven.